O God, take our minds and think through them, take our lips and speak through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Earth's crammed with heaven and every common bush of fire with God, but only he who sees takes off his shoes. If you receive an email from me, you may notice this fragment of the epic poem Aurora Leigh by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. It's not simply my favorite quote. It is a statement about how I see and understand the world and how I want to live my life seeing our world. And of course, it references this week's reading from Exodus, perhaps the most famous story of God meeting with and speaking to a person, an incredible moment of revelation about who God is, all coming from a bush. In the previous chapters, Moses was a baby found in the river by the daughter of Pharaoh after her father tried to have all male Hebrew babies killed. He is raised in Pharaoh's house as a member of his family, and we don't know what he knew about his own identity or family. We just learn that at some point he sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave and he snaps and kills the Egyptian. He thought no one had seen him, but when that it becomes apparent that that was wrong, and he finds out that Pharaoh is incredibly angry, he flees to the wilderness, where he becomes a shepherd, gets married, and starts a family. We catch up with him now while he's out tending his flock. I noticed for the first time this week that the text tells us that he's leading his flock to Horeb, the mountain of God. Perhaps he didn't know what or even who he was looking for, and certainly had no idea what would come of it, but do any of us ever know? But we do learn that Moses is seeking. And famously, what he comes across is a bush that is on fire, yet not being consumed by that fire. It catches his attention and he decides he must see it. Whatever Moses was looking for on the mountain, I doubt he left home looking for a bush on fire. And yet, he was watching, and he was open, and he noticed something special. It is possible that it was only there for Moses, but it's altogether possible that it was there as others passed by as well, and only Moses noticed. But what matters is that he was watching, and he was willing to turn aside and see this great sight, and in so doing, he meets with God. When he does, God calls him by name. Moses responds, "Here I am." This is the same response as his forefathers Abraham and Jacob when they met with God. And it is the same that will be said by Samuel and eventually Mary when Gabriel appears to her. And God responds to Moses and says, "Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." This place, this bush on a mountain at the edge of the wilderness, is holy. It's not a temple, not a place where people gather to meet God regularly, and yet we are told that it is holy. Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush a fire with God, but only they who see take off their shoes. Is it true? Is our earth truly crammed with heaven? Might there be burning bushes all around us? I'm convinced there are. I truly believe that all around us, God is present and longing to meet us. We, like Moses, must be seeking, watching, and open to turning aside as we walk through our own daily life and work. And how are we to respond to God? Like so many giants of faith before us, I don't think it has to be any grand or eloquent response. Here I am. I believe this is what God wants from us, just like them. Because it's a powerful response, after all. It's a hard thing for us to say. We have so much to do, so much to take care of, and the list is never ending. And our thoughts are so busy anywhere, anytime, but here. Remembering something that happened years ago, or repeatedly rehashing a conversation from a few days ago, analyzing what others might have meant, and wishing we'd had different words to say at the moment. Or sometimes our hearts are off in the future of possibilities, both dreams and hopes that we long for, and plagued by the terrible things that can happen to us and those we love. I find that even in moments of beauty and wonder, I often struggle with those last thoughts. The possibility of something wonderful being gone, knowing that even at its best, it's only fleeting. This week, one of the many things we learned about at a conference was the Benedictine life. One of its core tenets is called stability, and it's the practice of recognizing that God is here, now. As individuals, this means the ability to find God in our particular situation, in the people and place and time where we are, rather than believing that God could be in the next place, the next relationship, the next big thing. For us as a community, it has great meaning too. It means celebrating and remembering that God is with us here and now. Not only attaching God's presence to some time in the past when the church was different, or to some dream of the future, some day of great growth or exciting possibilities. Stability means that God is here and now with us and those people that we find around us. And recognizing that is part of our lives as people of God. In this passage, we see a great example of God understanding and meeting Moses in all of his particular humanity in his moment. The holiness of that moment is not mitigated by Moses being all that he is as a human living in a particular time, a person with a family and a people. God tells Moses, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." God assures him that he is the same God who was present to his ancestors and also to his very own father. God has been present before to Moses and his people. And God still knows them and has not forgotten them. "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings." Remember what sent Moses into the wilderness in the first place? He had seen the misery of a fellow Hebrew man suffering at the hands of his taskmaster. God knows the heart of Moses. He knows the ache inside of him, his anger and his longing for justice that has gnawed on his heart for years. Yet where Moses' attempt to help had fallen futile years before, God now wants to bring the Hebrew people out of their misery to a land of freedom and promise. God comes to Moses as the God who is present now on this holy ground. The God who had been present to his family in the past, and the God who is dreaming of new and abundant life in the future for Moses' people, and calling Moses to take part in that dream. But Moses wavers. He struggles to believe this is possible. Despite the fact that God has called him by name, has been the God of his fathers, and knows the dreams of his people, Moses says that he doesn't even know God's name. God responds to Moses' simple, finite, "Here I am, here I stand in this moment," with the famous response, which we both cling to and are mystified by. We translate it as, "I am who I am." But it also means, "I have been who I have been, and maybe more importantly, I will be who I will be." Moses had to be open and aware and finally say to God, "Here I am." And God responds, "I am, and I will be. I am always here, and I will always be here. I have been present through the ages, and I have been present when you were not aware. I have known the longing of your heart, and I know the cries of your people. I will still be when I bring you to the life you were created for, and I will be present through the difficult days necessary to get you there. I am, and I will be." And if God has always been present and always will be, then perhaps it always has been holy ground. But Moses just now turned aside and responded, "Here I am." While much has changed in our world from Moses' time to ours, this has not. There is holy ground all around us if we're willing to turn aside and be present. It is in the mountains and the trees. in the beauty and wonder of majesties, and in the glorious rhythm of the sunrise. And as followers of Christ, we are called to be particularly awake to the presence of God even closer in each other. In our baptismal vows, we promise to seek and serve Christ in all others. We often remember the serving part, but do we truly seek Christ in all others? So often I walk past people just like shepherds walk past bushes. But a fundamental part of our belief in Jesus is that the presence of God is burning in each human being. Sometimes it's a roaring flame, but even if it only seems to be a flicker, we're called to seek it, to see it, to notice it. Are we prepared for what we will learn about God if we are open and seeking? I kind of doubt it, but how could we ever be? I do believe that if we have the courage to say, "Here I am," we may come to know how God has been present through the generations before us and what God longs to do among our people. We should not be surprised if when we say, "Here I am," we realize we are on holy ground, for we have come face to face with this God who always has been, is now, and will be forever. Amen.